Now, in an environment like this, the reality is there are basically three kinds of people in this environment, in this very room. We have those who are here just checking Jesus out from a distance, and we welcome you here. We're glad you're here. In fact, this is a safe place to check Jesus out. And you can keep us at a distance. It's okay, you're just checking things out, and what is this Jesus thing all about? And so you're checking us out, and that's okay. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll get to experience him. But there are also people who at some point in their lives accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. God saved, and at some point stopped growing spiritually. So they know the Lord, but they're really not growing in the Lord. And maybe you would say, well, that's where I am currently. I know the Lord. I feel like I'm going to heaven, but I'm really not growing spiritually. Maybe you've hit a plateau. Maybe you kind of stalled out in your spiritual growth and maturity. So maybe that's where you are. Then a third group of people will be those who at some point at their journey accepted Christ, became a believer, and currently becoming a fully developing follower of Christ. In other words, growing, developing, building spiritual muscle, learning how to walk with God, learning how to trust the Lord, learning how to grow in His Word. And maybe that's where you are, and that's the goal, that we would all get to that place where we are fully devoted, fully developing followers of Jesus Christ. So I want to look at three essentials this morning to going deeper in discipleship. Now, why discipleship? Because discipleship is followership. Discipleship means I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to be his disciple, which simply means to be a learner. And I'm going to learn from Jesus so that I can do what Jesus did. How to go deeper in discipleship. Now join me in our theme passage, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're going to pick up in verse 1. When you're there, would you say amen? Amen. Our theme passage has been a wonderful text. I love this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, now that's a good thing, the crowd on the beach pressing in to hear the word of God, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, remember Simon Peter, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down, Jesus did, and taught the people from the boat. That is a posture of a rabbi. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now remember, this is a carpenter telling a fisherman how to fish. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. In other words, we're empty netted. But at your word, I will let down the nets. That's obedience. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. That's a good thing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, notice his response, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That's worship. For he and all who were with him were astonished, amazed, perplexed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't miss this, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. In other words, Peter, I have a new mission for you. And we're going to talk about that next Sunday. And here's our focus, verse 11. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now think about that. They left everything and followed Jesus. That is absolute obedience. That is total, complete surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever you want me to do, the answer is yes. Wherever you want me to go, the answer is yes. Whatever you want me to say, the answer is yes. Full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And what they did is they put their agendas aside and they embraced the Lord's agenda. They left everything and followed him. Now, here's my question for you. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? That's the first essential. Let's look at it together. Number one, if you'll write it in your notes, become a follower of Jesus Christ. You cannot go deeper in discipleship until you become a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, you may say, but Pastor Stephen, I'm a believer. I believe in God's word. I believe in Jesus. Well, my question is, are you a follower of Jesus? Are you walking with Jesus? Are you growing in your love relationship with him? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? What does that look like? What does it take? First of all, you have to place your trust in Jesus alone for salvation. If you'll write that in your notes, place your trust in Jesus alone for salvation. Now, this is a new venue, but I wonder how many of you walked in here and picked up your chair, turned it upside down, and checked all the screws, made sure everything was fastened securely, and just pulled on it, then turn it back over in its right place, and then you slowly ease down on your chair. How many of you did that? Would you raise your hand? Only two of you. I'm just picking. Only two? No. Why? Because you walked in and you trusted the chair. You just sat on it. That is what it means to trust. It means to place your total confidence in. And you place your trust in Jesus alone for salvation. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 3:16, if you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word believe means to place your total confidence in. So you transfer your trust from yourself to Jesus alone for salvation, and that's how you become a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, what's the next step? Follow in believer's baptism. Follow in believer's baptism. Now, we have baptism here at the North Campus every quarter or so, and we have it in the arena. We call it the Cow Palace. We bring in a portable baptistry. We've had many people who've been baptized here at the North Campus. We love that. But here's what I want you to understand. Baptism doesn't save you. Just as my wedding ring doesn't make me married. My wedding ring lets you know I am married, and baptism doesn't save you. It just lets other people know that you've been saved, that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And just as Jesus identified with you through baptism, now you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, are identifying with him through believer's baptism. Now here's your action step. If you have not placed your faith and trust in Jesus alone for salvation, at the end of my message, I'm going to invite you to come forward, and right here to my right and your left is our new friendship room, right behind the curtains. On the other side of the veil, I'm going to ask you to come right over here in just a few moments. We'll have some godly people there to meet with you, and they can share with you how you can become a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you already know the Lord and want to schedule your baptism, you also can come to our new friendship room right here to my right and your left, and we'll schedule your baptism. So essential number one, say it with me, become a follower of Jesus Christ. Now here's essential number two, don't miss this one. Practice daily spiritual disciplines. There's one thing I've learned in my 36-year journey with God, is that the Christian life is so daily. It's not weekly, it's not monthly, it is daily. Jesus said, if you were to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. It is a daily discipline. And to grow spiritually, we practice daily spiritual disciplines. Why is that? Because God created you to become like Christ. Now, maybe this morning you're wanting to know God's will for your life, and that is a great pursuit. What is God's will for my life? Let me tell you. Number one, that you be saved. That you come to know the Lord and be a follower of Jesus Christ. I can tell you, you don't have to pray about that. That is God's will for your life, and that's God's will for everybody in your family. It is also God's will for you to become like Christ. How do you become like Christ? Through daily spiritual disciplines. That is spiritual growth and spiritual development. Let's unpack that. What does that look like? First of all, read and feed on God's word. Read and feed on God's word. How many of you like donuts? How many of you love donuts? Why is that? Because God has given you an appetite. We love food, right? That's why you know our tagline is Baptist. When Baptists meet, Baptists eat. We just love food. One thing we're doing for our teenagers, we're providing them breakfast this morning. So if you want to serve in student ministry, this would be a great day to go volunteer because they have Whataburger and they have donuts. Why are we drawn to that? Because God has given us a natural appetite to desire food because we need food in order to grow physically and to survive. Well, God has also provided spiritual food for us to grow spiritual muscle and to be spiritually fit. And his food is the Word of God, the Bible. So we read and feed on God's Word. I love 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3. See if you remember this one. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up. That's God's will for your life. That you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And if you have tasted that the Lord is good, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? If so, then God has given you an appetite for spiritual maturity, for his word, for growth and development, for that spiritual food. But also, pray strategically. Fast periodically and give generously. Aren't you thankful I didn't put fast daily? The reality is, we all fast daily. Did you know that your day starts when you go to sleep? Oh, I thought my day started when I wake up. No, your day starts when you go to sleep at night. And you fast throughout the night. And then you experience a break of your fast, and it's called breakfast. Breakfast is where you break your fast. You're fasting during the night. We call it sleep. You're totally disconnected. You're letting God put you back together. You're being rejuvenated, refreshed, restored. It's called rest. And then you break your fast by eating breakfast. So you're fasting every day, but what I'm going to challenge us to do is go beyond our normal nightly fast and let's embrace a fast periodically. And it could be one that God's led me to the most, not only to fast from food for a day or two or seven, but God has led me often to go on a technology fast. Is that biblical? Is that spiritual? Fasting is simply giving something up so that you can focus on your relationship with the Lord. And so I have to look in my life, and often technology hinders my fellowship with God. So God will lead me to go on a technology fast, and I focus my attention on my love relationship with him. I remember last summer we went on vacation to North Louisiana on a lake, and we had this condo, and we were so far out of nowhere that we had no cellular service. Would you just check your pulse right now? Can you imagine not having cellular service and living? Let me tell you something. For our family, it was one of the best vacations we've ever had because we were all disconnected from technology, but we were deeply connected to one another. So maybe for you, maybe for me, our fasting periodically is a technology fast. I know for me, it's been really a vibrant experience in my journey with God. So we pray strategically, we fast periodically, and we give generously. God blesses obedience and giving, and we'll never outgive God. And that's why we have our offering every week. Now, the Trammell family, many of our staff and other church members, we do ACH, where it's automatically drafted out of our account. Others give through our online means. Some give using a check and put it in a pink envelope. Some give cash. However you give, we're giving to bring honor and glory to God and to finance ministry both locally and globally for the glory of God. Now, if you want to grow spiritually, I'm going to challenge you to pray strategically. Prayer is a relationship. That's how I'm communicating with God and connecting with God and listening for his still small voice. I'm going to fast periodically to make room for my relationship with God, and then I'm going to give generously. Notice number three, shadow a godly person. Shadow a godly person. I know in my journey with God, I have grown most when I shadow a great man of God. When I shadow a great man of God who is further down the road than me, who is a spiritual giant, who has daily spiritual disciplines really grooved in his walk with God, who has wisdom and discernment, I want to spend time with a godly man and shadow that godly man because I want to grow spiritually. And it's one of the most effective ways you can grow. Joshua shadowed Moses. Elisha shadowed Elijah. Ruth shadowed Naomi, and Timothy shadowed Paul. Paul invested in Timothy's life, but Timothy was reaching up and being mentored and being shepherded by Paul, and Paul invested in him, and then Timothy reached down to invest in the next generation. And I want to challenge you to shadow a godly person. You can do that through reading. You can do that through podcasts. You can do that through taking a person to lunch and just sitting at their feet and asking lots of questions to learn from them and grow from them. If you want to grow spiritually, shadow a godly person. We have some of the most amazing godly men and women at Champion Forest Baptist Church that I've ever met in my lifetime. If you want to grow spiritually, shadow a godly person. Here's what the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. So essential number one, become a follower of Jesus Christ. Essential number two, practice daily spiritual disciplines. And then essential number three, you ready for it? Say amen. Amen. Connect with a life group. Connect with a life group. And today is Promotion Sunday. And what that means is our children go up to the next grade level, to the next age group level. It means for our adults, you just enjoy staying in your life group because you're going to be there until you go to glory. That's your graduation. You just stay together and eventually you graduate into glory. But we value life groups and we value on-campus life groups. We challenge you to come to worship, then stay for life group. This service is over at 9:55. Life group starts at 10. It's over at 10:55. So if you come to the 9 o'clock service, you go to life group next. And then by 11 o'clock, you're in your car on the way and you beat everybody to lunch. Can I have an amen? Well, I can see how this 9 o'clock service is going to thrive. Notice, a life group positions you to do life with people your age and life stage. That's what life group's all about. Doing life with people your age and your life stage. You see, the Christian life is not a solo flight. If you're lonely, if you feel alone, I have good news for you. We have life groups to help you feel more connected, so that you can do life with people your age and life stage, so that you can walk with them and do life with them and enjoy the experiences of life together as a life group. But notice also, a life group creates an atmosphere where you can experience authentic community. And that's my heartbeat. My vision is for the North Campus to be a campus of authentic community, where it's safe to be real, where it's safe to be wounded and still be loved, where it's safe to open your heart and to share your soul. And our main avenue for that is life group. That's where you experience authentic community with people your age and your life stage. I read this week. I thought it was so fitting for today's message. Rick Warren had sent an email out talking about requirements for cultivating community. And think about authentic community where you can be real with other people. And he gave some characteristics that I thought were very fitting for us today. Commitment to experience community, authentic community in a life group. Commitment. Honesty, where you can just be open and honest with other people. Humility. Remember, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Humility. Courtesy, where you put the needs of others before your own. Confidentiality. That in your life group of authentic community and somebody opens up and shares a deep wound or something that they've been struggling with and they share it within the confines of a life group where they have authentic community and you keep that confidential. It's not to air out. It's not to put on social media. It's to keep confidential and to take that to the Lord in prayer and to befriend them and to walk with them and to help them. And here's another characteristic. I love this one. Frequency. Frequency. Just making a commitment to be every Sunday kind of life group attender. I'm going to be in worship every Sunday, and I'm going to be in my life group every Sunday. Frequency. Now, here's what you'll discover. In an environment like this, and we created the 9 o'clock environment to be a little more intimate, a little more toned down, and this service will grow, especially when the Texans are playing at noon on Sundays. This will be a very popular service, trust me. We may have to open up another wall for that season. But here's what I want you to understand. It's hard to experience authentic community in a group like this because there are too many people and we're all facing the same direction. When you go to a life group, it's a smaller environment where you can see each other face to face, eyeball to eyeball. And in this environment, I'm preaching, it's one way. But in a life group, you can ask questions. You can express your opinions. You can share about an experience that you had. You can ask for people to pray for you. And it's an environment where you can just bare your soul and let other people love you. It's in that environment where you will know and be known, where you will care and be cared for, and it's where you will love and be loved. This past Wednesday, 3:00, I went to Methodist Willowbrook to visit a North Campus family member who was in the hospital, Marvin Neville. He was in ICU, and I finally got to the room, turned left, and I was walking in, and there standing by his bed was this real tall man, and his name, Doug Young. Doug Young, at 10:00 every Sunday, teaches right through this wall here on that side, our adult life group. It's the oldest, most mature adult life group on campus. It's the mature folk. They're closer to glory than most of the others on the campus. And Doug, amen, do I have amen on that? They can feel the glory of God. Doug is the life group teacher. Doug's their life group teacher. And it just so warmed my heart to walk into ICU to visit a church member, and a life group teacher got there before I did, and I was excited. And then we had a wonderful visit, and then we joined hands together. Doug opened, and I closed in prayer, and then we walked out together, and I just thanked him for being on mission with God and for shepherding his life group. That's how we do ministry, and that's how we keep a church with 12,000 members very close and intimate. It's through life group. Thirdly, a life group enables you to deepen your understanding of God's word. So we want you to not only show up and be very consistent in your attendance, but our passion and desire is for you to grow up. Not just show up, but to do what? Grow up, to develop your spiritual growth and maturity, your spiritual fitness for the glory of God. God wants you to grow spiritually, but here's the deal. There are no shortcuts to maturity. I've been working out for the past few weeks. Can you tell? And I don't mean working out with ice cream, though that's part of my routine. But I've been working out now, and I really enjoyed working out with weights and doing cardio, and I do a spin class every week. And it's just been a lot of fun being involved in that and just trying to bow up for the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Plus, I just want to be fit, and I want to live long, and I want to be healthy. I want to have more energy, more strength, and stamina. So I work out. But here's what I discovered. When I walked in the first day, and you look into the mirrors, you see all these people, and I mean, there's guys in there that are so swollen and huge. Here's how they have to walk. They walk like this. They can't bring their arms down. They're so, everything's so swollen and big, they have to walk like this. And I'm walking in there like a pencil, you know. And I'm like, I don't look quite that inflamed, but I do want to get a little bit bigger, a little bit more cut and ripped, okay? But here's what I discovered. I worked out really hard. I did what they were doing. I followed them and shadowed them. I did what they were doing, but they had, their bars were bending. Mine were like straight, not as heavy. But I worked out too. And when I looked in the mirror, I wasn't all bowed up like they were. Why? Because it takes time. Growth and maturity takes time. And there are no shortcuts. And spiritual growth, listen carefully, is not a microwave experience. It's a crock pot journey. The question is, are you on the journey?